Headlines today on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info 732. Welcome to the second part of Dailies today. I'm Sheriff Quadri.
I'm Jimmy Disu. Good morning.
Sorry.
I have to repeat that again. I'm Jimmy. Morning, everybody. You're welcome.
It's good to have you here.
Yes.
You can watch us live on Facebook and on YouTube. Just search for Nigeria Info 99.3. Subscribe and like our page. Subscribe on YouTube, like on Facebook, so that when we come on live, you can get notified and then you can join us. Now, let's start with the Punch newspaper. Page 2, Weakest Camp Films Wants PDP as Atiku Picks Okoa Running Mate.
Well, first of all, let me be honest with you. This is a big relief. If Philip was telling me this morning that, sir, it's as if these people listened to what you had to say yesterday. Because it's a big relief that, you know, at the end of the day, even though the panel set up, it is reported, picked Wike, but I think Atiku is, you know, would have already made up his mind on who, even if he doesn't make his mind on who he wants, he'll make up his mind on who he doesn't want. And to be honest with you, with all respect, all due respect, how do they put it? Wike would have been a tough nut to crack as a vice president. You know, Wike is very gregarious. That's his nature. He's very outspoken. He's not given sometimes to the finesse that certain positions would dictate. And I had that discussion with my good friend here yesterday. He didn't agree with me. Fair enough. But I think that the position of president also calls for a bit more diplomacy than Wike can show, that we have seen. At least we've seen him as governor go to so-called rescue people who are, according to him, being harassed by federal quarters and higher quarters and so on and so forth. His manner of speaking itself, can be, as a president, might be found offensive by certain persons. Anyway, you know, he's gregarious. That's him. It's not him. You are who you are. And then because of who you are and the way you carry yourself, there are certain positions you might not just fit into. And this is what I think, has come to play here in the first instance. Even the president says that the person he has chosen is a president in waiting. Is a president in waiting, and Okoa has what looks like a peaceful mien and a more diplomatic ambience around him. That's it. You are who you are. We have more gregarious people, Oshiomhole is gregarious, popular, whatever, and he fits into the role that has been assigned to him. But when it comes to the presidency, one has to be a bit more careful. The other win-win thing for Okoa is because Okoa comes from the Igbo-speaking side of Delta State. His first name is Ifeanyi, and that also then helps. He might use that influence to see if he can penetrate the eastern areas. So that also is an added plus. Of course, his credentials are good. He's a medical doctor, he's been generally peaceful. I don't know much about Delta State, but he's been generally peaceful and so on and so forth. So the Wike camp are kicking, but this is how it goes, gentlemen of the Wike camp. In a contest where you have two or three people, somebody has to. And that somebody might not necessarily be you. If you thought that you had a sense of entitlement to the position, then you should have insisted that it shouldn't be competitive. That no, we are not sharing anything with anybody. It's either us or nobody from the onset. But if you submitted yourself to a process where out of two or three, then you have to choose one. I don't think it is right for you to be huffing and puffing and backing at the fact that somebody was chosen. But I know Atiku, he probably find his way around all this. Find a way to pacify Wike. He will bring his bill forward, and there'll be moves to settle it as far as the capacity can carry until when Atiku becomes president. The question I am now, what I was now thinking of this morning is, politically, what would satisfy Wike? Because listen, he's not going to be a governor again. Okay, by the time this election comes up, he's not going to be a governor again. So what could satisfy him? Would he want to be secretary to the government? Would he want to be an ambassador, which is a very good place for politicians to retire? But then again, Wike as an ambassador frightens me. The man is who he is. He's not, like I said, he's not a minus. But he like all of us, we don't fit into certain roles.
He's gonna probably get a ministerial portfolio.
But he's been a minister before, so what's you know?
He can always
petroleum.
He can always
Petroleum. Mm. Yeah. But do you think he'll be satisfied with being minister? He was minister about 8 years ago.
I think he would be. Mm. I mean, what politicians want is just to be in the corridor
in the corridors of power. He can't be chief of staff anyway. That might be a little bit actually moving a bit too fast.
but
the election has to be won first.
The other conversation that people are really having now is they are not looking at Okowa as someone who is from the east. They are looking at Okowa as someone who is from the south. And they're saying that it's a betrayal of loyalty, a betrayal of trust that the Southeast, the five percenters, you know, have been dealt this situation. Because they, if you're looking at a region who has been very, very faithful
to the PDP,
it's definitely the Southeast. If they can't get the president, is it that bad that they can't get the VP?
Maybe I'm just speculating, the dilemma is that the vice president in waiting has moved to another party. And the thinking, when you look at the electoral fortunes, is to say, if this gentleman has moved to another party, if you choose somebody else, he might not be able to match him head to head when it comes to electioneering. So let's go and then solidify the South. Okay, that's my mind.
The question would then now be that then does Okowa have that political value?
Once you have a position, you have the value, and added to the fact that he's from an oil producing state, he has the money. That's practical. Let's move around. Once you have money, you have political value. Everybody is going to migrate towards him. The person who will be shaking in his boots now is James Ibori. Yes, he's the one. Okowa, if for example Atiku wins and Okowa becomes the vice president, that Ibori should quickly either make his peace or begin to look towards retirement, because that's what it is: position and money. Once you have the position and money is more than just money. Okay, you need that position, to be in a position to provide patronage to so many people. By now, the Vanguard this morning was full of congratulatory adverts across the board. Everybody is falling in line very quickly. Even from the Wike camp, some phone calls would have been going quietly. You know, even Wike himself, by the time he gets over the disappointment by the weekend or so, when there's any approach to him to try and mend fences, the truth will stare him in the face that I better fall in line. And Wike is needed.
Yeah, that's money, right.
Shout out, but his money is needed. But I would use this opportunity to ask us, maybe after this election, to ask us to thoroughly find out how elections and parties are funded. And if there's any nexus between that funding and public funds. Now, you know that I'm being polite by saying this. I'm just trying to be politically right on radio. All of us seem to have a fair idea of how these things work. When you say somebody has money and he has a war chest, from where? Did he inherit the money? You understand what I'm saying? Did he inherit the money? Has he been so much of a businessman he can throw that kind of money around? Short of people like MK Ugabiola, and Dangote is not given to things like that, very few of our people have what you would call legitimate money to fund elections.
Mm.
But the war chest you need is massive. So we need to take a critical look. But of course we won't, because whoever are the participants in such an exercise are also looking forward to being beneficiaries of this kind of largesse. It's a terrible Nigerian phenomenon that in my lifetime I don't think will be resolved.
Let's move on to page 16 of the Punch newspaper. Enugu Diocese disowns Mbaka, says utterances divisive.
I honestly don't know what the fuss is about Reverend Mbaka. I don't know. We need to, as a people, we need to choose our fights. We need to react to what is relevant. We need to not waste valuable time. Look, let me read this story for you. I put it on the inner pages. This is what Mbaka said. It says, why Peter Obi will never become the next president. Now, listen carefully.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Listen carefully. All of a sudden, I forgot your name. Is this age? Okay.
I'm intimidating. That's
let me just, look, yes, let me just call you a lay. This one. Okay, listen to this one.
Okay.
Everybody else is a lay. You are this one. Listen to what he said that people are fussing about. A stingy man that cannot give people his money with his hunger, with this hunger ravaging the land, and you are saying he is the one you want. Do you want to die of hunger? Are you people insane? Then he says, where is the Holy Spirit? Look at him again. He says, It is now that Atiku is seriously contesting for president. Now that he's contesting without Peter Obi, it is now that he is serious. We want somebody serious. Did you hear what he said? Unless Peter comes here to kneel if he becomes president, I will close down this ministry. What we are doing is spiritual. Now tell me if you made any. So what is the fuss about? Can't you see beyond the problem? Is this what people are reacting about? I heard you on radio on Monday, and people are going on and on and on and on and on and on. Don't we have better things to do with our time? To put it honestly, he says, listen, a good old man is better than a young wicked man. Excuse me. Peter Obi is going nowhere as far as God lives. If the Igbo want a representative, it is not somebody like Peter Obi. And so on and so forth. I couldn't make any real sense out of what is being said here. And I'm now asking myself, what's the force? In this political dispensation, you're going to have to deal with the good, the bad, and the ugly. What I would tell most people is what you call face your front. Be focused on where you're going. Be focused on what you want to do. Be focused on what you want to achieve. And don't allow anybody, or anything for that matter, distract you from your goal. And we waste valuable airtime this morning. You had open mic, and people kept calling in about Mbaka, Mbaka, Mbaka. Apparently, most of them had not even listened to what he said. Had they listened, half of them would not even call in. I mean, I respect Father Mbaka. I don't know, you know, I'm not making any, but I'm just wondering what the whole force is about in what he has said. And if he says that Peter Obi cannot be president, so what's wrong with that? He's expressing his opinion. That's what he's doing. And then leave him. And when Peter Obi becomes president, if he doesn't want, like he said he will leave them. I mean, don't. Let's move on to another story. I just want our people, please. A lot of people will also be playing pranks with your mind, either to distract you or just as a matter of fun. But like I said, what you should do, which is the way I run my life and run, you know, my professional life, I just face my front. That's to use the local lingo. Just stay focused on what I'm doing and don't get distracted by these things. It is important, again, that we know that it's not everybody that will like your favorite candidate. That's the way life is. It's not everybody that will see things the way that you see them. And that's not enough for you to go on an opera and, you know, leave Father Mbaka alone. Is he your pastor? No. Honestly, I don't know why people get emotional about all these things. Is he your pastor? He is not. So what is it? Those who are reacting here, Father Mbaka is somewhere in the east or wherever he is. Mm. Do you pay tithes to him? No. I mean, so do you give offering to him? you said something this morning. You said he's no longer with the Catholic Church.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Because some people have said that he should be derobed. But he is described here as the spiritual director of Adoration Ministry, Enugu, called Amen. So apparently, he has even left the Catholic Church. But you know Peter Obi is a Catholic.
Yes, he is.
So doesn't that give you an inkling as to what could be going on? Let's move on, Jerry. Second base.
Second base. Vanguard for today, page 7, they have this story here that reads, how 33 passengers crew survived overland aircraft fire, mid-air.
When I read, this was actually in the papers yesterday. I don't know how I found its way in here again today. I don't like flying. I'm very nervous about flying. I'm claustrophobic. So when I heard that an overland aircraft caught fire, caught fire, even reading the story, I had shivers. And it says that it took off from Ilorin and then it caught fire, but it was able to land. That is not the story for me today. These things do happen. The story rather for me is the state of aviation in our country. Even our most prized airline, I won't mention their name, but our most prized local airline that does a bit of international, go to YouTube and see reviews of independent people, you know, foreigners, not necessarily Nigerians, who have done reviews about their level of operations. And I also remember when at one time, some 2-3 years back, when a memo from the chairman or the owner of the airline, the memo he sent on WhatsApp to someone, and it was leaked.
Yeah.
The honest to God truth is that there is something wrong with the airline industry in our country, and it is not well run.
Mm.
And I would plead with the authorities, because it looked as if at some point the aviation minister himself was probably distracted, okay, from the job.
Mm.
But definitely, moving forward, we need a round, what do you call it now? A round peg in a round hole in that area. Mm. There is something wrong with that industry. Remember 2 weeks ago, we had a I don't want to use the word crash, but accident reported. Somewhere along the line, I think I saw it in the papers. If you take the experience of people who go on these, especially on our domestic, I don't want to use the word local, I don't want to use domestic, but they have stories to tell you. I saw the video once of a plane that was leaking, you know, damaged chairs and so on and so forth. Sorry?
I said Kai.
Kai, yes. There were some leaks. I remember years back, I took a flight on a local flight. The AC wasn't working, and there was no water in the toilets. I just don't want to mention the name of the aircraft. I mean, so these things happen. Part of the problem is, I suspect, apart from the fact that, of course, the issue of corruption always rears his ugly head in terms of supervision and so on and so forth. But also, we seem to not to want to face the reality by wanting to fix the prices, to fix the fares. And I hear, so it's not even any better. The people who have been in private jets that are on hire, don't call them private jets, jets that are smaller, that are not commercial but on hire, to sometimes have stories to tell. Please, I know we don't place a premium on human life, and it's probably a bit late in the day to ask this government to do anything about it, but let it be part of the issues that we will take on with all aspirants. You know, as we talk about the economy, as we talk about that, we should also talk about the aviation industry. Now, I can hear you saying, waiting concern me. I know they enter plane, waiting concern me, I'll be poor man. Remember, I said that plane, if it fall on your head, though. You know, say motto, if motto get accident, it go happen on the spot. But plane, all of us remember the sad incident years ago. So we all have a stake in this. The condition of our airports is, I don't want to say the word disappointing anymore. It's a nightmare. is a nightmare. It's so sad. We just can't get ourselves organized. Ghana is the exact opposite. And it's a country like ours. I mean, look at the international side of things. You come down from an aircraft, get into a smelly airport, you queue to clear your name with the DSS, you queue to clear your name with the immigration, then they start to take, sometimes they take your fingerprint, your photograph, then they ask you, what's your home address? What's this, what's that? Wasting valuable time. Who does that? In other countries now, even Ghana here, I heard Ghana, you put, if you are a citizen, you put your passport in a reader and it clears you. And then if you have something, if there's something wrong with you, you move aside. I don't know when we will ever get. And on inquiry at the airport, I was told by an immigration officer that, sir, do you know we have, because I took him on. Mm-hmm. He said, do you know we have all this equipment, but our people won't allow us to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit late in the day. The minister we have now, completely distracted, is a politician. But we need to take up any of our candidates about what they're going to do as far as aviation is concerned.
Right, indeed. Let's go. Take a story, page 10 from the Vanguard newspaper. Nigerians may arm themselves if Akeredolu speaking.
I sympathize with Akeredolu. I sympathize with him. But it could jolly well happen if care is not taken.
Mm.
You know, I sympathize with him. And he's saying it completely out of frustration. It was sad to see my friend weep, you know, at the sight of the massacre that took place in Owo. He broke down completely. And I sympathize with him. And I sympathize also with the people of Owo and Ondo State. But this thing is getting out of hand. It is getting out of hand. And like he said, if the authorities don't move quickly to stem the tide, people will be forced to defend themselves.
Mm.
Now we have the elections coming up. One of the strategies that might be used, okay, to gain victory by some political parties given the antecedents would be violence. But it is important that they should know that nobody has a monopoly of these things. You know, Nigerians now are in a very, you should ask me what I went through when I did my analysis on Tuesday. Nigeria are ready now to make sure that at the very least their vote counts. So we must prepare this balance. The government should step in and do the needful before you push citizens to that point. And we are tipping edge. Now you can actually get a weapon in the black market. That has always happened. But it's going to become easier and easier over time. And it's going to become difficult at some point in time, you know, to enforce the law. Look at the number of motorcyclists that were arrested with weapons hidden in them. That should give you a clear indication. In some areas in this country now, most people who can afford it are armed. And like the governor is saying here, he says he wants that the federal government is an inability to secure lives would soon force Nigerians to arm themselves in self-defense. And he says that the governor, out of frustration, Akeredolu says that he called on the police to close shop if the federal government could not meet its equipment needs.
Mm.
And he insisted that the police have failed in their constitutional role of protecting Nigerians and that if the situation does not improve, citizens will be left with no other option. The elite already are virtually arming themselves by having escorts. That's a roundabout manner of doing it. But not all of us can hire policemen. Shebi, the other day we had a musician who it was said had 5 policemen at his beck and call. Not all of us can afford that. Would it not be, and this is a joke, would it not be cheaper to go buy yourself a Beretta? I'm sure you don't know what a Beretta is. Oroke feel at on one.
Yeah.
What's a Beretta? I should ask you.
I know. I just want to prove you wrong. What's a Beretta?
I'm the one asking you now.
No, it's me that will prove you wrong today. What is it?
What is it?
I know that you have the wrong idea of what Beretta is.
Okay, it is a Beret.
No, it's not.
I like Barry. I just, you know, I've known, if you If you grew up in the 007-8 James Bond, you will know the names of the various guns. And when we were in school, we used to read all these Nekata novels and so on and so forth. A Beretta is a pistol. It's a bit flat like that. Flat pistol Beretta. You know. Did I get you?
Do you have one?
Ah, it's not. I mean, don't let them come and trap me. I don't have a Beretta.
All right, so we have to go now, but Captain Blade is already in the house.
It's the premises.
Okay.
So we're going to have fun at 9 o'clock.
Fantastic. That's our show today. Thank you so much, sir, for coming. Let's take a break, bring you the news, and then we'll talk BBC Africa Eye documentary where African children were told to say on camera that they are black and they have no sense.
What?
That's our conversation at 8 o'clock.
They don't disconnect your line. Sick of say you not link your national identification number to your MTN number. Make
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria.